For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show. Back with me, Tim Fuel, and some of Non-League's finest for another hour of real football stories. Recording slightly earlier in the day this week as my co-host is a man in demand. Welcome, manager at Chertsey Town and Wembley finalist, Mr. Dave Anderson.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, hello. It's been, listen up, it's been an unbelievable few days. And we're busy with league fixtures as well. So we have a game tonight, so we're doing this Thursday afternoon. But yeah, no, unbelievable. I'm still up numb, I think.
Well, it's been a week to remember. I think the talking point is the bromance between you and Steve Wilkes, the manager at Northwich Victoria. It said to me everything about non-league football.
Yeah, I think it said everything that's good about non-league football. I think I'd said to you, I don't know where it was on the show last week, I was saying that, you know, we had a chat before the game, the first leg, and we just sort of clicked and talking about different stuff, his stuff and the stuff at the club and my stuff. And just, you know, you never really talk too much about the game because that's what you're there to win. I just felt as if I was treated really well. And when and I took him a bottle of WKD for his 1,000th game, so I think he enjoyed that. And then I just wanted to make sure that he got the same treatment when he came to Chertsey and his team. And it's a massive praise. And, you know, and to win it like we won it was, you know.
Yeah, for those that don't know, you won it on penalties.
Penalty kicks. And there was nothing in the game. There really wasn't. We had great chances. Both goalkeepers were unbelievable, Tim, in the second leg. And we effectively scored one more penalty than they did. But I'd said to our dressing rooms at Chertsey, for those who've never been there, are sort of porta cabin like and really close. There is, you know, if you sneeze in one dressing room, you feel it in the other one, you know. And with such a big fixture, I was just wary of how it was going to be after the game for the winning side and the losing side. And I just said to Steve before the game, we had a quick chat, and I said, look, I've a request for you to think about. No matter who wins this, let's make sure we're respectful of the other team, you know, with the lads, because the dressing rooms are small. And it didn't surprise me. He said, I've already told my lads that. And I thought, yeah, that, you know, that's fine. And it worked out we were the winners by the grace of the football gods. And I was just respectful of how he must have felt. And I made sure my players were. But it wasn't a hard thing to sell to my players, because whilst I thought the officials over the two games were excellent, they had nothing to deal with. It was two teams who just were honestly trying to win a game of football. There was no nonsense, no, you know, that crap, you know, the dive and the handbags, none of it. Proper tackles, proper headers, proper football chances. You know, I think so. My players had a big respect for the lads as well. So it was an easy thing to carry out. But after the game, with a quick chat, what I said to him was between me and him. But he said something nice on Twitter about it. That will stay between me and him. And after the game, I was sitting outside trying to come back down to earth. A few of their players as went out sort of said, "Look, well done," and you know, yous have. Your players are a credit, you know. So it meant an awful lot that we showed them that respect, because we absolutely had it for them, you know. And we all felt for them, you know, because they're all good guys, and it's the cruelty of football. Don't get me wrong, you know. Once our guests had left, we partied the night away, and I'm sure they understand that. But it was 1 a.m. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed it, and it's a massive achievement for the football club. I'm delighted to sort of be part of it and to get to play at Wembley, but I'm sure, as Kevin will say, Cray, he's no sense going there to lose. So we move on to the next one that way. But we've got to try and win the league in between. So I think after this interview, I'm going to put it to bed for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, I was going to mention, it's over a month away, and you've got, what, 11 games, you say, before the end of the season? And
yeah.
Chasing your second place, chasing St Comer Rovers at the top. So, yeah. you've got to get back into the right mindset and focus. And obviously, I guess, think about player availability at this time of the season. Yeah. It's been a long season, so everybody's probably on the end. Probably playing in that semi-final took a lot out of them as well.
Yeah, well, I made 9 or 10 changes from the starting lineup on Tuesday night for that reason. We play again tonight. We play Saturday. We play Tuesday. I did sign 4 or 5 players before the deadline to try and accommodate that, because you can't play the same people all the time when you're playing that amount of games in a week. And you have to be careful of fatigue injury, especially with what we've got to face it as our last game. So that's I think when the club hired me, they hired the fact that I've got the experience to hopefully deal with that. But I've won a league before. You don't win them easy. And no matter how everyone else looks at it and goes, yeah, it's done. It's not done. You know, we're now the team that's trying to win the league and the team that's in the FA Vaz final. And I know what it's like to be in the other dressing room. Your players love playing against teams like that. So we're very, very worried of that. And we just have to... So was it one game at a time? I don't know. Maybe that never catch on. But I think we have to try and just put Wembley in a box somewhere and get on with. And I always feel that managers are judged by what they do in the league. The cup's the cream on the cake, you know.
Wembley in a box, it's the only box you've not been in Wembley, isn't it?
It's absolutely true. I was saying that. We've done everything there, haven't we? Yeah. We've recorded the show there. We've done commentary from the press box. I've sat in the royal box, you know, me and Dave Waters, and I've done it all except sit in the dugout. So, if God spurs me, then I'll get to do that, you know, and then that could be the end of the road, maybe.
Oh, you maybe heard it first. So to our first guest of the week, no stranger to the show and no stranger to success in the league and in non-league football. He started the season managing in the Football League, but with early results going against him, found himself out of a job, but he's not one to twiddle his thumbs. He quickly picked up the reins of a club 2 levels below where he had been managing, and they were in need of some stability, but he's quickly turned them into potential champions. And it's welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, manager at Torquay United, Mr. Gary Johnson.
Good afternoon.
Well, it's a good afternoon for us, and it looks like it's a good afternoon for you. A win midweek over fellow promotion chasers Chelmsford City in the National South, that leaves you, I think, 7 points clear and 5 games to play. But then you've got this massive game ahead this Saturday when you travel to second place Woking.
Yeah, we have. We've been playing big games week after week most recently. We've had 5 good wins against playoff teams, and now we find ourselves obviously having to go to Woking. It's nice to go there 7 points clear, but obviously nothing's been done yet. But obviously it'll be a long way to getting to the championship if we can beat Woking and get 10 points clear. So that makes that a very, very big game on Saturday, and we've been looking forward to it for a little while. So especially as we're in a little bit of credit now with the points.
Yeah, Gary, that sort of... That must make it easier. I mean, I know both of you, and both of you and Alan, and you know, it's easier having the cushion, but I suppose he'd probably look at it that he's got nothing to lose, really. So it could be kitchen sink, you know, the kitchen sink job, you know. But I understand that, but I want to make a couple of, you know, listen, we do our homework here. If I'm not mistaken,
it's the only time in his life I've done homework.
If you secure promotion, and that's all we'll put it to, because I know you're not going to admit to anything else, that will take you from the Conference South into the Conference, or the National South to the National. You've taken a club from the National to Div 2. You've taken a club from Div 2 to Div 1. These are all promotions or champions. You've taken a club from Div 1 to the Championship. And you've taken a club to the playoffs final, because I was at it, to take a team into the Premier League. Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, I've thought about it. And it's not that I'm getting lower and lower each year. I've thought about that. I've had a few moves upwards. It's all relative, isn't it? You know, if you whatever league you win, it's still unbelievable to win a league, because after 42 games in this league, but 46 games in the Football League, you know, if you get promoted and you've been the best team of, you know, 22, 23 teams, then you get that same feeling wherever you are. You know, you took a group of lads that you've trusted and you've worked with to the best that they could be at that level. And often I've had sort of a couple of promotions as well where, you know, I've been lucky enough to, you know, get players that have developed enough and kept them on and took them to the next division and they've done quite well. So I tend to try and get lads in, A, that you can trust, you know, B, that believe in what you're doing. The more promotions a manager gets, the more belief there is, if you like, in players, because they feel they've got to listen. This fella must know something. And then they get better. And sometimes if you win a league, you can generally, hopefully you've got the players that to do well at the next level as well. So, you know, somebody said to me the other day, you know, how do you do it? What's your secret? And it's really getting the right people around you, you know, the right staff, certainly the right recruitment. That's
well, Pete, your brother Pete's got a big say in that, hasn't he?
Yeah, no, he'll appreciate you saying that. He'll give you a tenner there, I think.
It wouldn't go as far as a tenner.
Yeah, no, Pete always says he does all the work and I hold up the trophy. Pete does a great job and he's been with me wherever I've been and he knows exactly what we're looking for and what I'm looking for. And then people know that as a chief scout, if they talk to him, they know they're getting straight to the manager, if you like. You know, there's not other people in between. So, no, we've done very well with our recruitment and Pete's a major player in that for us.
Yeah, and you know, I've wrote down here, it is absolutely about players. But so if we take it back to when you walked in the door at Torquay, which is it's madness. We were just looking at, I think there were 14th or 15th and looking to sort of maybe finish mid-table.
Three wins from nine, I think.
Yeah, so, you know, so we were just looking back at it today. But you, how many players have you brought in, Gary? And when did you think that this sort of run would be on?
Well, we did, to be fair, I looked at it when I wasn't given a lot of time to make a decision, really. I mean, the club, you know, Gary Owens left the club and they spoke to me later on that day, funny enough, and said, look, we want to do this quickly. Are you interested? You're probably not, but we thought we'd ask.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought I'd go to the interview. I'd only been 3 or 4 days out of work, and the wife was already trying to chuck me out, and you've got something to do, you know what I mean? And so I thought I'd go to the interview, and to be fair, when you're like my age, my experience, you tend to interview while they're interviewing you, you're sort of interviewing them as well. Do you know what I mean?
So absolutely.
It's important. That, and I just enjoyed their company, enjoyed their personality, and it all felt right, to be honest. I looked at the team. I'd watched a few videos overnight. And 3 or 4 of the players I'd worked with before anyway, Asa Hall, Liam Davis, Ryan Dixon, and a couple of others, Jake Andrews. And so I thought, well, why are these 14th in the league? And I knew there was a couple of lads that Lee was trying to move out on loan as well. He'd already got 2 here at Torquay with Gary Owens. And I thought, if I get those 2 in, can bring in a couple myself. I've got Kalala from Cheltenham where I was. And it all gelled. The biggest job was to move out the ones that you didn't feel were conducive to winning the championship, and that's what I had to do. So I gradually moved everybody out, and actually we had our team photo for the season 2 weeks ago. You know, sometimes you have a team photo and there wasn't anybody on it that was near enough. There was some on it, but half of them were
by Christmas, you know,
didn't get involved at all. So
we made a
new photo. But from day one I just thought, well, they're 14th. We've obviously got but you still can make the playoffs when there's 17th. You know, right down to 17th. First team gets automatic. The other 6, as you know, go in the playoffs. And I thought, well, we might make that. But we got going, got a roll, got on a roll, and supporters were turning up in their numbers. And it just kept going. I think we probably got it there. I think we won 22, is it, out of 27?
Unbelievable,
Yeah, and all of a sudden, the playoffs weren't in any supporters' minds and the hierarchy minds. Suddenly, we had to win the championship. We had to get promoted. So you put the pressure on yourself, you don't
do,
you?
Yeah, you do. Yeah. And what you made a little point there, sorry, Gary, about your son Lee. He could take his team to the Premiership this year, couldn't he?
Yeah, that'd be fantastic as well. You know, obviously, we're already sort of proud of what he's done there. Yeah. He still hasn't quite got to where I got to, which is a banter in our household all the time. He wants to be that one. Yeah. Just kill my reputation by getting to the Premiership. And, you know, he's doing a great job with it. You know, he's got a group of lads. He's no real superstars, but he's got a good system with them. And they say streaky about Lee and that and the team, and they are a little bit streaky where they can go on a long winning run or a long losing run, you know, but that's young players. He lost his best three players early on in the season, which was a shame. You know, Bobby Reid, wasn't it, Flint, and Tammy Abrahams, and a couple of others as well. So he's done great to keep them competitive, and certainly that's what they are at the moment. And I'll be very proud of not only him but of the football club, because I've still got a lot of friends there, and still, you know, go to games when I can.
And you say about the, you know, being competitive and that. What about your guys? If you do make it up into that next level, are you going to have to make a lot of changes to your squad to be competitive at that next level? Because you brought them together so quickly.
Yeah, I did. Well, to be honest, what I've done is that the ones that I felt have improved enough to be able to play at the next level, which I know as well, the National Conference, obviously, I've been lucky enough to get a couple of promotions out of there. I ended up with that group, 17 players. And what I did was, in January, I offered them all new contracts if we went up.
Yeah.
So there was a new contract if we stayed here, you know, just to make sure that I was okay through the summer. And offered them new, higher, you know, better contracts if we got into the National League. So they all knew they were going to be part of this club next year as well. So that's pretty powerful when you've got a whole group knowing that they're going to go to the next level together if they can get there. And that's what I've done. I've managed to do it. You can't do that always, because players, you know what it's like. Yeah. They like to be out of contract, and their agent says, "No, it's best for you to be a free agent at the end of the season." You know, so it was great that they all committed themselves for the next season, and that was good news and very powerful for a group of people to have that mentality going through this second half of the season.
Yeah, it says a lot about you, about your experience and knowledge as a football manager, but it also says a lot about the club as well. You know, we spoke to Gary Owers last year when he was in charge there, and he said that the club was on good foundations. It was moving in the right direction. You've obviously seen that, and the fact that they're supporting you with supporting the players, although, you know, maybe the club's hit the furthest bottom it's going to hit. Mm. It's a big club, isn't it? It's got great potential, great fans, and a great fan base that you can tap into.
Exactly. Well, I saw it as a challenge, you know, it was a real sort of challenge, but it was somewhere. I think everywhere I've agreed to join, I always felt had a bit in it, you know, it had a development in it, it had a, you know, a prospect in it, you know, and I just felt this club was a. It was definitely a football league club playing in non-league. You know, I don't feel that we're non-league because we're in every day. You know, we train every day. We've got a couple of fantastic training grounds. The stadium's nice. I knew that we could turn, if it started going well, turn the support from, I think it was about 1,200 to now what we're getting between 2,500, 3,500. We had 4,500 at Boxing Day. I just knew that we could get the people that used to be here back. And also, you've got to have a little bit of a feeling for a place, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know, some clubs you go to and you go, look, I'm never coming back here if they offered me £1 million a week. You know what I mean? But here, I'd always been looked after, very much looked after.
When did you first get that, Gary? Because I absolutely understand what you mean. When did you first feel that, if you can remember?
Yeah, I can remember. It was coming here as a manager and having a... bit of banter with the crowd. It wasn't nasty or anything, and they always had a big crowd. It was a bit of a local derby with Yeovil sort of thing, and I think they always respected what I was doing. And obviously, it's the West Country, so it's the same TV, the same papers, the independent sort of thing, you know, and people know of you much more. They know your personality a lot more than, say, people up north do.
Yeah.
And I was coming here as a, you know, as a scout, as a manager, you know, looking at their games, watching our games, and you know, they looked after me in the ballroom, that sort of stuff. And it was, it was just somewhere. I liked the pitch. Normally, always got, you know, pitch of the year.
Yeah.
It just felt right. Really, it's like going into a new home. You know, when you know whether it's right for you or not, pretty much straight away. And and I thought, well, you know, it's not a million miles away from where I live, really. It's a little drive down from Bristol, where I live, to Newton Abbott is our training ground. So it's like an hour or so. So this was kicking me out, as I said. So I'll give it a go, because every day it feels I could be in any division at this club. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel non-leaguey at all.
That's brilliant. And listen, it'd be stupid of me, you know, I've done this a long time, not to take advantage of my position. My team just got to Wembley at the weekend for the FA Vars. So, right. As a man who's been there, what would you tell me?
Well, obviously I've Yeovil, and we've been to some big games. And I think it's, I always say, trust your training. And if the training's been right, and the build-up's been right, and the, you know, if the information that's gone into the players is right, then that'll be there when they need it.
Yeah.
And I think it's giving them the confidence that they've earned the right to be there, and they've just got one more step. Go and enjoy it. Go and work hard, because obviously a work rate brings in probably all your coaching tactics. As long as you work hard, it'll bring in everything, won't it? You know what I mean? You know, whether it's running, getting past people, shooting, you know, that team energy, team tempo is massive, and it demoralises opposition.
Yeah.
And if there's a modicum of ability, which obviously there is, because they've got to a final, then that will come out. But you won't win it if you're just going to bob around the pitch waiting to do a little cross turn.
Love it. Now, I've did that, and to be fair, I'm sure that Kevin from Cray, who we play in the final, and I've tried to be fair that if he listens to this show, he'll get those wise words as well. I'm finished, Gary, but it's... I wish you well. Douse is a big mate of mine, and your family are massive mates of mine, as you know.
So I
wish you well, and my regards to your brother.
Lovely. Appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us,
much.
Gary. Take care.
Yeah, cheers, fellas. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Well, Dave Anderson, you say you do your homework. Every day's a school day, because you're learning as well on the job.
I there's no way I wasn't asking him that. I've been to watch his teams at Wembley, so I wasn't going to miss out on it. I don't want to make it the Dave Anderson going to Wembley show, but if I get the chance to speak to someone like Gary, yeah, I do. And he made one little comment that I loved. You know, very, very good interview. You know, he's very straightforward guy. But the comment I refer to is, he said, I was lucky to get promotions, or was it to get out of the conference a couple of times. I was lucky enough to get out of the conference a couple of times. And that's him playing himself down. But you don't get lucky a couple of times. You know, you don't get lucky to get out of the conference once. So that's just... And you can imagine that his players will absolutely have their feet on the ground from here on in. And I know and love Douse, but I think everyone's playing for second, if I'm honest.
And one comment I wanted to make was it says a lot about him as a manager... And the draw at non-league, because we know that, you know, like you say, with his brother Scout in non-league, he's always looked at non-league to bring players through and take them on. But to make that drop, you know, lose a job in the opening weeks of the season in the Football League, he'd been there 3 years, I think, at Cheltenham Town.
Yeah.
And then, you know, things just didn't start well, and he's out in the job. But then to drop down to National South, step two of the non-league game, and think, yeah, this is right for me, it says a lot about a person.
It does, and I think what he was talking about, his knowledge of the club and how he was treated there, that'll have been a big factor, because I think the bottom line is that that is, whoever came up with the thought of giving Gary Johnson a ring from Torquay should have a statue outside the ground, because not a lot of people would have had the balls, for want of a better description, to phone someone of his stature, and you know, and there you go. You never get.
Like someone calling Dave Allen and say, "Do you want to come out of retirement?" Now look where they are.
No, believe me, there is a massive, massive difference in that. And I ain't putting my name to that statement, by the way.
So to our chairman of the week, and I know Dave Anderson likes this bit, at the end of last season, one club were the talking point of non-league, and not of their own making. Met Police were switched to the divisional reshuffle after decades of playing in the Isthmian League and into the Southern League South. Additional travel burdens were among issues that many feared could threaten the existence of the club, and long-serving manager Jim Cooper even left over the summer because of additional travel it would mean for him from his home. Now, a month from the end of the season, Metropolitan Police are challenging for promotion. It's not turned out so bad then, has it, Chairman at Met Police, Des Flanders? Welcome to the Non-League Football Show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's good to have you on, and what a story. You must have questioned everything you loved about football during the summer last year.
Well, it was certainly a shock when we read the news that we were going off to the Southern and would be making trips to the seaside and so on, given that we were a wholly London-centric club and our whole thoughts and processes were built around travelling around the M25 and different parts of London. And so, as I say, it was a shock.
And how's that travelling been on the Southern League road trip that you've now experienced this season?
Well, of course, the impact before we started the travelling was that we lost half of our players immediately, that they got the news that we were going to be travelling far and wide west. So there was a difficulty. You've already said Jim Cooper left us after 14 magnificent years at the helm. And so it was a bullet we had to bite on. And in fairness, given the background, we've got to say we've enjoyed the whole process. It's been good to go to new places to see how other people manage, how they fund their stadiums and make the whole of the background enterprise work, as well as pitching our young new team against some very established Southern League sides. So it's been an adventure, I think.
And I think as well, to, you know, with Jimmy leaving, there's Gavin McPherson had been his assistant for, well, I remember playing against him many times, and Gav was always there. So that gives you a little bit of continuity, and the staff that he's brought in, John Nurse and Scott Tarr, you know, top players and have been around staff side for a while. So that's nearly like, that would have been quite exciting as well, wouldn't it?
Well, it was, because Gavin is a very different character to Jim, though we would never have wanted to have lost Jim, no. But it has given Gavin an open opportunity. He stepped very readily through the door to seize the opportunity and brought Scott Tarr and John Nurse into a tighter arrangement with himself, leading, because they were part of a foursome prior to that, and now they've become a trio at the top there. They've all got their different skills, they've all got their different styles, but as a complete unit, they've had a fantastic season, and I couldn't wish for better than the way Gavin has responded.
No, and I think, you see, some people mightn't realise when they say that you lost half your team, realistically, what would happen just is that a lot of your team would come from sort of South London that way, who a lot of away games would go direct if you're in the Isthmian League, whereas all of a sudden they're travelling an hour to get to the coach that's travelling for 3 hours. So
absolutely.
But then what comes into that is your staff's knowledge of players, your manager and your staff's knowledge. So they certainly haven't let you down with that.
Well, we were very fortunate that we had a crop of young players who had already had a fair baptism playing for what I call the reserves and what Gavin chooses to call the development team, yes. And he's probably got the right term for it. But
no, he hasn't.
I'm from a different era, but there too. We go. But these boys had played adult football, and so at 18, 19, they had accustomed to some roughy tufty away from youth football. And they also had formed the basis of the group which took our youth team on trips to Yeovil, Burnley and Wolverhampton Wanderers in the Youth Cup 3 years ago. So they'd been in some big stadiums and in front of some decent crowds. But stepping up, you always wonder, have they got it? Will they just fold? Will it be too much? But they've seized it. And somehow or other, I think young people don't mind travel when they seem to be ready for it. we've had a whole different approach to what's allowed to be eaten en route to a game now. Debbie Bull, our hospitality lady, is sourcing all kinds of healthy options now for coach travel. Whereas previously it would have been a couple of sarnies and a bottle of Coke or something.
Them days are gone, aren't they?
They are.
How have you found, Des, how have you found the quality of the league compared to the Isthmian League? Because I know Harborough have moved over and they've similar stories to yourself. They've enjoyed the change and I've spoke to people there and they're having a good season. They're sort of seventh, which is, yes. So how would you say the quality is?
I personally think we might not have prospered quite so well in the Isthmian. I think the level of player and experienced players is just that bit better, let's say. If that's, that might sound a bit makes harsh, sense. But
no, I think you've worded it very well, to be honest.
I mean, we've met some really good players en route, and I can recommend to anybody who hasn't seen Weymouth play yet, go and have a look, because they got a fantastic outfit down there, and we managed a 4-4 draw with them earlier in the season, but on Tuesday night they were just too good for us. But I'm putting a bit of that down to a Tuesday night coach travel, 100-odd miles to get there, and so on. But in general, I think the standard across all of the clubs is just that bit higher in the Isthmian.
And you say the Weymouth trip, it's not necessarily your longest trip, but it's not an easy one. It's near where I live, so I know that journey. As an example, what time would the players have to assemble on a Tuesday to leave for that game?
Well, the coach left on Tuesday at 2:45 in the afternoon. So they had to be at Invercourt by 2:30. So it's a challenge for anybody who's got a job. That's a challenge because, as Dave has just said, it's not just the travel to Weymouth. They've got to get to Invercourt to get to the coach. There are one or two live a little bit out west, and so there is a pickup en route, but not all that far from Invercourt. It's around the Bagshot area, so they've still got a substantial journey to do. And then journeys home after they get back.
Yeah,
that's it. It's the following day as well, isn't it? And the rest of the week, and then to be fit for Saturday. You mentioned.
Saturday's different because generally people aren't working on a Saturday, and so on Saturday we'll probably leave at 9:30 or something around that, maybe 10, to make sure that we're at Taunton on time and in plenty of time to do the warm up and get ready for the game.
Well, that's the next thing I was going to come on to. You defeat to Weymouth in the week probably suggests that they're going to end up champions, but you're still
probably
in the hunt.
If they don't.
You're still in the hunt for those playoffs, and you're third in the table, and you travel to second place Taunton. That's some week and some travel as well for those players.
Absolutely. We're expecting a hard game because they are an experienced team. They've got plenty of talent in the team. But our boys compete very well. We've had some adventures on the journey and we've had some stunning wins. And, we will hold our own. It's whether Gavin decides to go toe-to-toe as he did on Tuesday to play as much football as Weymouth played, and we did play some decent stuff. They had a better cutting edge, let's say.
Yeah.
And if you've got a brand and good ships, then you'll you'll understand that.
Yeah.
Goals this season.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. I think that that's when you come up against the best teams, they just have that little bit of magic dust, you know.
A little bit more. I think they only had six shots directly at goal and scored four.
What about the way these playoffs work this season, with only two places for the divisional playoff winners and then a step three super playoff?
Tim, I think it's miserable. I think it's poor, and I've had some correspondence with the chairman of the FA over it, and have received some assurances, let's say, that they are looking hard and acknowledging that the pyramid, as it's called, isn't in fact a pyramid.
Yeah.
Now, I guess for anybody else, we now face the prospect of not only extra week of affording, the expenses of affording another week on the season for the playoff week, but then there's another week beyond that for the teams that get into that super playoff, as it's being called.
And the irony being that you'll probably end up playing the winners of the playoff from the Isthmian League that you moved across from.
Quite probably. If it works out any other way, I'll be staggered.
I think you have a fair point, Des. I think that... And listen, if they're saying, if they're making the right noises, that they're listening to you, and I think that's good. But it seems unfair to me that you're squeezing... Squeezing two good teams into one place—it's it doesn't sit easy with any of us, does it?
Well, it's grossly unfair in my view, because a team has worked all season to maybe just miss out narrowly on the automatic promotion, and they go into this playoff and it's still not finished when they've won their playoff, and that's grossly unfair.
But thinking positive about it, and you achieve it, can the club compete at step two?
Well, we'll give it a go. It's not where we expect it to be, and we'll give it the best shot we can. But I've already told Gavin that his budget for next year is the budget that he's had this year. But this year we
that love cheered him up.
It made him really happy. Yeah. Absolutely delirious. Yeah. Because we've got some other plans, and we're not just running a number one team. We run almost 30 teams down at Invercourt one way and another, and trying to provide for them. You know, we're looking at maybe going a 3G way, because it would help income in a number of ways. So we can't just think about what it costs to put a team on the pitch. Yeah. It's got to be about what's behind the club. And I certainly don't intend to leave the club in a position where it's at risk financially of not being able to continue. But so Gavin's got a bite on that. If he wins some more money in the FA Cup or the trophy, then I've told him he can have that, and that will be a bonus to his budget.
Well, you already made the FA Cup first round this year, and is it 100 years since the club was formed? So promotion on that.
We're
100
years old this September, and we're planning to celebrate that. So it will be a good year to perhaps for the first time be in the National League.
Yeah.
But that's a dream, really.
Well, considering where you were in the summer, Des, it's fantastic to speak to a happy chairman, a positive chairman.
We always try to be happy and positive at the Met, despite whatever the adversity is. And we've invested, you see, over a number of years. Some of these boys that I call the kids, they're my class of 92, I think probably would be the apt expression. But we've invested 4, 5, 6 years in them already, and so it's right that they should come through, and that we'd want them to be playing for us, because they're happy to wear the badge, albeit, as you are well aware, not many of them have a police connection.
Yeah. Oh, that was something I was going to touch on. I remember it always used to be the joke that clubs wanted to draw Met Police either bank holiday weekend because you're all at Notting Hill Carnival. Those on the job are all already busy, so you had a depleted squad. Nowadays, it's Met Police in name and history, really. Would there ever be a change of name for the club?
Well, there's a great friend of ours associated with Bogdan Regis Town Football Club who calls us the Fraud Squad.
Well, Mr. Pierce.
and so we're happy to live with that. But, we just reached the point where we would have gone out of business in a football sense because the guys that we had were struggling to get time off, were struggling in any case to just come and play, you know. And so we had to bite the bullet and say, we need to go open, might be the expression. We've still got a fair number of cops around the place. And lo and behold, this week I've just found out that we've got two recruits who look as if they could play at the level. And so what we'll have to do now is work behind the scenes through contacts to see how possible it will be for them to come along next year and get into the Saturday, Tuesday routine. The last guy that we had booked all his annual leave in half days for a whole year so that he could play for the team. Well, that's almost unfair in order to get a guy to play. But we're hopeful that these two will be able to recruit and we will get some cops back in the first team.
Well, the first team's doing well on its own, but I'm sure some extra reinforcements would be fantastic. Des, it's always good to talk to you. I'm so pleased we got you on. We wish you well at the weekend and for the rest of the season. We'll keep an eye on how things develop.
And regards to Gavin and the boys, tell them I said hello, Des, please.
I'll pass that on, Dave, and good luck to you at Wembley. I hope things go well for you.
Really appreciate it. Thank you, mate.
It is nice to have a story like that where the club, there were real concerns about the club, weren't there, last summer? And, well, completely different now.
Yeah, and to be fair, you know, I felt for all involved because I've known Jimmy Cooper a long, long time. And to be fair, Gav, I remember Gav playing. That's how long ago I've been around. But, I felt for them. And it's always one of them places that players love to play, Invercourt. Surface is always good. It's got a good little setup. You know, it's sort of, if you live where I live, it was never a million miles away. And you did fear for them. But it shows you that change doesn't always hurt you, you know. Gavin, to be fair, maybe deserved a chance to be a manager. He'd bit his time and Jimmy had moved on. And I'm glad Jimmy's back in football as well. Out of it too long for me. He should have been in it way before he's get back in with...
He loved this being a pundit stuff. That's what
he's getting into that. I keep telling him, I'm the star. Can you get along with that? I'm delighted. So, and there is a freshness about moving because I've heard the same stories from the people at Harrow. They've genuinely enjoyed the move. So sometimes we need to listen to that. But I think the big thing that came out of it, besides Met Police being in a good place and we're all delighted, was the point about the super playoff. I just think it's, I think Des worded it better than I could, you know, and I wholeheartedly agree with him.
Now, we've just spoken to a chairman about a club that was switched from divisions and also leagues at the end of last season. There's always much debate at this time of season about clubs that may want or may be forced to move leagues or divisions. One recent story, however, sees one club already confirmed as not only moving leagues, but also the football pyramid they will play in. To tell us more, welcome to the Non-League Football Show, manager at Colwyn Bay, Craig Hogg.
How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you on, Craig. The club applied and were very quickly approved and accepted to move from your current position in the Northern Premier League Division 1 West to the FA League of Wales at second tier. Were you surprised how quickly the club was able to get it all sorted?
Truth be told, I really was. I think, you know, in terms of when I took the job in September, the target I was given as manager was to obviously, you know, keep us in the league. So to then find out nearly 8 months later that I would potentially be, you know, the last manager of Colwyn Bay in the English system was quite the surprise. And in terms of how quickly, you know, the decision was made and how the club got to that decision, how the shareholders of the club got to that decision, the FAW Council agreeing to not only accept Colwyn Bay back into the Welsh pyramid, but also to allocate the club a starting place in Tier 2. You know, the last 4 weeks, so to speak, has been, you know, quite the roller coaster in terms of, you know, the new pathway and journey for the football club, but it's one that I think could be quite exciting as well.
Yeah, and that new course, obviously, that the club has shown faith in you as well with a new 5-year deal. You've obviously impressed since you came in earlier in the season, and what a course to be heading on now.
It is, and I think, you know, I was delighted, truth be told. I was very surprised, I think, as many people were, with in terms of the length. It's quite unusual for a football manager to be offered a 5-year contract, be that in the professional game or certainly in the non-league environment. And, you know, in terms of the project, the plan that was presented to me, the club wished, you know, for me to be part of that. It is an exciting journey, and I feel that it's one where, you know, on the field, it's going to be very, very tough in terms of making the transition from England into the Welsh system. I've worked in that system before. I know how difficult it is firsthand. But it's a challenge, you know, and a project that I fully intend to embrace. And off the field, the club have stated their reasons for it. You know, they're looking to... It's an opportunity for the club to be sustainable, you know, with a view to re-engaging and growing the club locally, you know, re-engaging with the fan base, opening up to a new generation of, you know, support and potentially a new generation of local businesses and sponsors. But also, you know, some excellent work being done in our academy at the moment as well. And it's a great opportunity to go and build on that and, you know, start to look long-term, get, you know, more local players and some very good players in North Wales and get them into our academy and get them into our first team and one day, hopefully, you know, playing for the club and bring success.
Yeah, there's lots of changes going on. You mentioned that, you know, the reserve team have become the under 23 team to bridge between the under 18s and the first team, etc. There's new board members come on stream as well, which is again helping build that community and bringing new blood in. It seems a very exciting time to be at Colwyn Bay.
It is, and I think, you know, that's one thing in terms of agreeing to commit my future to the club. You know, the plan, the project that's been presented to me does really excite me. You know, my assistant manager, Neil Coverley, who's been outstanding for me in the dressing room, the dugout and on the training pitch, he will be taking up a role as a director of football on the board at the end of this season, starting in the summer and next season. You know, to have a football person on the board who's, you know, very well respected both on and off the pitch in the Colwyn Bay and North Wales area, I think speaks volumes, not just about him as a person, but also about, you know, the regard the club holds for him as well. You know, in terms of new blood on the board as well, there's new directors joined. They're looking to add and recruit new directors to the board in the coming weeks. They've launched a new supporters committee. There'll be a representative of that will attend meetings at board level, from what I understand as well. So they are actively trying to engage in, you know, bringing local people to drive the club forward, to reinvent itself, and to do that in Wales. And, you know, the academy is good. It's a lot of good work has been done there. And, you know, the academy director, Chris Thompson, he's looking to launch not just an under-19s team, but have, you know, a clear vision in terms of a certain age group of players working and playing in at an under-23 level. So, yeah, there is that, you know, direct bridge and that, you know, into the first team and providing the right environment and opportunity for players to go and learn. So there is a lot going on, and a lot has, you know, changed and is changing and has done so in the last 3 to 4 weeks. And, you know, I'm very, very excited by what the future could hold for Colwyn Bay.
And the project as a whole, is it like we often hear this 5-year plan, 10-year plan. Have you been set targets like that, or is it just to really build that community and bring football back to Colwyn Bay and get everybody excited about it?
Well, you know, you talk about projects and business planning and so to speak, you know, in terms of what goes off the field, I am aware to a certain point of what they are planning in terms of driving the club forward off the field. On the pitch, yeah, you know, my my milestones, my targets, if you like, have become a lot clearer since Friday gone of last week, where the FAW made that final decision in terms of what tier we'll be entering into in Wales. And, you know, I will be set targets in terms of, you know, the ultimate long-term aim, vision, you know, ambition of the football club is to, you know, get to the promised land of the Welsh Premier League, our national league here in Wales. And, you know, to achieve that, there will be certain objectives set during the course of, you know, the next 3 to 5 years. And I'm under no illusions at all. You know, I face a huge, huge job, a huge challenge. We're entering a league in Wales that is fiercely competitive. Again, there are some excellent clubs, you know, club owners, managers, coaches and players in that league. And nothing will be taken for granted at all. It might be a case of learning to walk before we can run. Maybe that's me being a little bit cautious. However, you know, you've got to be realistic, and I am a pragmatist by nature, and I think, you know, things will be done properly. We'll do our very, very best to try and achieve, you know, what the board and what the club wish. And hopefully if we can do that, you know, a lot of local people will be on board for the ride.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned that the promised land of the Welsh Premier League. Well, yeah, one promotion away from that, you will be when you start next season. It's a very competitive league. Obviously, the potential of European football. There's plenty of big budget clubs there. And realistically, you're moving from the English pyramid into the Welsh pyramid because of, you know, financial constraints, and you want to, you know, build the club more sustainable. Can the club compete at that next level if you were to, you know, progress and move into the Welsh Premier League?
That will remain to be seen. Clearly, I think, you know, part of the planning that, you know, the board, again, as far as I'm aware, is they're actively looking to, you know, bring new blood and also bring new investment into the club as well. So in terms of competing at that level, you know, I've worked in the Welsh Premier League, my previous club, to Colwyn Bay. I was assistant manager at a club where we went from this division and we achieved European qualification within 12 months of promotion. So in terms of, you know, the rewards that that can bring, financial and, you know, the publicity side, and, you know, we ended up going to play IFK Gothenburg out in Sweden, and we lost that game over two legs. I think it was 5-6-1 5-6-1 over two legs. And that experience and being part of that was absolutely tremendous, and the group of players that we had, they're memories that they'll never ever forget. And I think, you know, the ambition that I have in terms of, yes, you know, be sensible and get there when the time is right. But when we get there as well, it'll be a question of being competitive and not just being there to make up the numbers. And I think, you know, with the philosophy and the attitude of the board of directors and the club, you know, I do say it again, it is exciting times, and hopefully, you know, we can get there sooner rather than later. And once we do get there, we can be competitive and stay there.
Yeah, I mean, even from afar, the last month, it's been like a film. You know, I often talk about, you know, Hollywood grabbing hold of the things that go on in non-league and actually, you know, getting some Oscar winners out of this, because it's been a fantastic thing to watch. But to be part of it must have been great as well. Do you think it would have been different, though, had the club perhaps been challenging for promotion or playoffs? Because it probably wouldn't have been an easy thing to do then, because you've got to think about the other repercussions.
Well, I mean, clearly they're conversations to have with, you know, my employees, but I think, you know, from the conversations that I've had, the facts and figures that I've been presented with, I do honestly think that probably the club would have got to this stage, you know, be that this year or be that next year. Mm. I think in terms of, you know, if we had been in the playoffs and promotion, I think it would have been a much, much more difficult decision to try and come to. And let's be brutally honest, you know, the decision that the board and the, you know, the shareholders have finally come to, it's not been an easy one for them. The club has, you know, over 30 years of history steeped in playing in, mm, you know, the English football pyramid. People have staked their homes with a view to maintaining that right to stay and play their football in the English system. So to come to a decision now, regardless of whether we're 10th or 11th in the table, of whether we've been top, it wouldn't have, you know, really made a difference. It would have been a huge, huge decision to make anyway. But I feel that, you know, the club and the information that I've had is that they believe that this is the right decision to sustain the club, for the club to remain, but also the caveat of growing the club and moving the club forward. And they believe that, you know, Welsh football is the right direction and the right environment for that to happen.
Yeah, certainly, as I say, from afar, it certainly looks like the community's embraced it. You've got new blood coming in at all levels. You know, volunteers, they're always a key element as well in non-league level, wherever you're playing. One of the things that springs to mind for me on the admin side of things is it's probably easier when you're signing people within the Welsh FA and not having to wait for the international clearance from that's still a bit of a minefield and a potential issue for a secretary.
Well, I can certainly vouch for that being a minefield. You know, I've been a manager since September. I've experienced things in football as a coach and as a player, but I've experienced things in football as a manager that, you know, I don't think I ever dreamed of, in terms of, you know, the time that is actually physically taken to get players over the line for international clearance. You know, at one stage, we were waiting for the best part of 30 days for four players each individually to be cleared to play in time. When I first took the job, we had players who were injured, suspended, who were unavailable because of clearance, and we were really, you know, up against it. And I think that those experiences will be crucial moving forward, especially, you know, learning my trade as a manager and clearly changing country, so to speak, and playing back in Wales with our football. But yes, you know, signing players from within Wales, you know, we're bingo being a Welsh club, we are governed by the Welsh FA. However, we come under the FA's jurisdiction in terms of the leagues. So, you know, the times that we're involved, the time delays and scales that we're involved in getting players over the line was just absolutely horrendous. Hopefully, you know, those that won't be the case now that we're playing in Wales. And like I said, you know, we're really looking forward to what the future could hold, and also working hand in hand with, you know, the Welsh FA as well, being part of what they want to do with Welsh football. And Welsh football does look exciting at the moment. It's come on such a long way. You know, you look at the success of, for example, the Welsh Premier League, the National League in Wales, how well that is doing, the publicity that's getting. You know, the Welsh C team have competed successfully against the England C team, and recently it's a fixture that seems to be remaining as well. And there's a lot of positive stuff going on in Welsh football, and I think to be part of that is not just the right time for the club as well, but it's also the right time for Welsh football. So, you know, maybe we'll look back in a few years' time and see what type of decision it was and how successful it's been. But I think, you know, hand on heart, I think, you know, this is a very positive decision for all parties concerned.
Yeah, it certainly does look a great story, and it looks like everything seems to be positive from it. How's it going to work with your current crop of players going forward into next season? Because I guess they were recruited to cover the Northern Premier League and the division you were playing in. So where you're going to be based in Wales now, does that mean a whole new crop of players?
That will be, well, time will tell. That remains to be seen, I think, you know, in terms of having conversations with our players, you know, when the time is right, I fully intend to do so. The current squad that we have at Colwyn Bay. But I think out of respect for, you know, all the other managers, players and coaches in the league and all the other teams in the league that we play now, you know, our total focus has to be on the, you know, the six games we have remaining, and we have some massive games remaining before the season finishes. You know, ideally, you know, the club want to improve the academy and bring local players, young players through from our academy system into our first team. I think that's a long-term aim and objective. But in terms of players for next season, you know, plans are in place in terms of, you know, pre-season and training and friendlies, etc., and potential targets. But I'll cross that bridge once this season is finished.
And that's a good answer, because I know that's probably something that was going to be thrown at you, I'm sure, as the season unwinds, because you've got six games left to play after 35 years in the English pyramid. But you've got some big games, like you say, that can affect the top of the table and affect the playoffs. I think you've got Leek Town on the last game of the season, and they'll be aiming for playoffs. So the fact that you're committed to finish the season as strongly as you can is good for football.
I think so, and I think, you know, more than anything, I think I'm a big believer in you earn the right to do things, be that in life or be that in football. And the group of players that I've had, you know, more than anything, they've given absolutely everything for me personally as a manager, for my assistant manager, Neil Coverley, as a coach, for our fans and our supporters. And I think to do them justice, you know, we want to go out and win as many of the remaining games that we have within the English pyramid and finish as high up that league as we possibly can. I probably shouldn't say this, but, you know, you do become attached and you do try and maintain professional boundaries when you're a manager and a coach. My players, you know, have certainly earned my respect and my admiration, but they've also, you know, they've earned a lot of love from me. You know, what we've been through as a group, and to see, you know, an average age of players of 21 to apply themselves and play some of the football that they've played this year, I'm absolutely desperate for them to finish, you know, as high as they can in the top 10. And for that to happen, we've got to go and win games of football. And you're right, you know, we played Leek on Tuesday recently. We've played, you know, our next five games. We play Colne, we play Mossley, we play Runcorn, we play Radcliffe. And all those teams, you know, Leek the last game of the season, Market Drayton in between that, and over the bank holiday weekend as well, and at least five of those six remaining games, you know, all those clubs are playing for something. They're either going for the title or they're going for playoff places. And yeah, you know, people have said that, you know, we might have a say in who finishes where, but, you know, that's their concern. My biggest concern is, you know, an obligation to my players. I want them to go and win as many games as they can, to go and put themselves as high up the table as they can, because I really believe they deserve that.
So, yeah, the new chapter about to begin, but that last game of the season, it's going to be quite an emotional thing, isn't it? Stepping out of the English pyramid after 35 years.
Yeah, and, you know, there's no way of dressing that up. It is going to be an emotional day, but, you know, it's a strange one because, you know, when I got released by Everton as a young professional, the very first non-league club that I played for was Colwyn Bay. You know, and for that to be my very first club as a manager, you know, the irony doesn't really escape me there. And then for me to be the last manager in the English system, from a personal point of view, I can see it being, you know, a question of trying to put emotions aside. Obviously, we're expecting, you know, quite a big turnout and quite a big crowd, because it is historic. You know, there's no escaping that fact. What is happening is historic for, you know, English football to a certain degree. It's certainly historic for Welsh football, and it's certainly historic for the town and the club and our supporters as well. So, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it in, you know, a couple of weeks. But like I said, you know, it'll be a question of putting emotions aside. We'll have a job to do on that day, and our job and our aim and our objective will be to try and win that game of football and finish on a high.
Well, I'm already writing the screenplay for Hollywood now on the back of that. It's been fantastic talking to you, Craig. We wish you well for the rest of the season, but for the new project as well, because we'll be keeping an eye and hopefully get you on next season as well and see how things are going in that Welsh pyramid.
Brilliant, Dave. Thank you very much. And, you know, love your show as well. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much, mate. Take care of yourself. So, time of the week to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers. And joining us this week, David Richardson, online editor. Welcome back to the show, David.
Hi, Tim.
It's been another strange one in the world of Non-League. Last week I was bigging up Lake Norrie, and, you know, they'd had that little blip and they were running away with the National League, and they've had one of those weeks again where nothing goes to plan.
Yeah, they have. It was a difficult defeat for them in midweek at Bromley. It was one of their games in hand to try and extend their lead at the top, and they slipped up. They went ahead, and then Marvin Ekpeteto, who's been brilliant for them this season, a real revelation and one of the sort of up-and-coming centre-backs in non-league, who I'm sure will get a shot at the Football League at some point. He was sent off and in the process gave away a penalty. Bromley scored from there and then got another one and beat them. And you look at the table now and there's still a point clear with the game in hand, but you just sort of feel with the running that they've got, I think they've got to play Eastleigh at home, and they go to Sutton, and then the real big one's that Easter weekend where they're at home to Harrogate, and then they go to Solihull on Easter Monday, and you know, you think that will be a pivotal time in the league at that stage. But I'm looking at Salford in second place, and you just think the form they're in, they're not conceding many goals, they're picking up wins constantly. You just sort of get a little bit of a feeling where, like you said, you know, last week Leighton Orient couldn't really do any wrong, and then suddenly they've lost one, and sort of the door's opened a bit. But yeah, I think it all adds to the exciting month we're expecting.
It is very exciting. You know, they're almost in a position where you expected them to be anyway after those FA Trophy semi-finals, but you know, things went their way when they weren't playing those games, and now they're there, and you're thinking, it's that form thing, though, isn't it? Going into these big games and you know, crunch games, and it just the psychology of football. No wonder people do PhDs in it nowadays.
Yeah, and I think in the final month of the season, it's similar to the beginning, really, in that you don't know what's going to happen, and also you have to factor in that teams are also fighting for their lives to stay up, and you do sort of get odd results where teams at the bottom will start winning two or three games and get themselves out of it. Like I said, the form Salford are in, you know, they've changed their styles, how they're playing, they're not conceding goals, and you know, I think last weekend when they won late on, right in the very last minute after going behind with about five to play, you know, I think that was just massive, really, for the momentum. And even if Orient go on to win the playoffs, win the title, I think Salford will be really tough to beat in the playoffs, because the way they're going at the moment is impressive.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the playoffs, and we've often spoken about, you know, the new format of the playoffs. We're keeping it alive as long as the season is, really. And you're just outside those playoffs. You've got two teams that, if you're a supporter of Ebbsfleet United and Gateshead, you're the turmoil you must be going through. One, as to what lies ahead for the future of your club, but two, you're on the cusp of playoffs that can take you into the Football League, and then the two of them play each other this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's been another sort of crazy week, really, for both clubs. Obviously, with Gateshead, they had good news on last Friday. you know, thinking that a takeover was going to happen with Chris Dunphy, the former Rochdale chairman. And then earlier this week, it's announced that he's pulled out of taking over the club, and sort of they're back to square one, really. Ebbs Fleet have had problems with their players being paid throughout the season. And once again, they were chasing their wages for March. They were paid yesterday evening, but you know, which is good news. But at the same time, it's sort of the thing, well, this shouldn't be happening in the first place. And you know, it's also come out this week that the training ground, the people who run the training ground where they practice, they owe about £30,000 to them, and they're no longer going to let the club train there. So it's just sort of one problem after another, really. And like I say, it must be torture for the fans who just sort of, you know, you don't know what's going to come out next, really. And it's somewhat ironic that both those sides play this weekend, and both sides have had really good seasons, to be honest. You know, I think Gateshead were the favourites for many of us to go down, and you know, they've been up there mixing in the playoffs. I think it is a little bit beyond them now, I think, to get into that top seven. But for Ebbsfleet, it's well and truly on. I really do think they could sneak in there.
So a busy weekend in the National League, and then you look further afield. You know, we've mentioned that even in the National League, there's turmoil, disturbance, and that. And then we've already reported on the non-league show about Colwyn Bay and moving across the pyramids over into the Welsh pyramid, and we got Street FC resigning from the Southern League Division 1 South this week, simply because it's been all too much for them since being promoted from Step 5 last time.
Yeah, it's a bit of a strange one. I spoke to Richard Fay yesterday, who's their manager, for a piece in Sunday's paper, and he and his assistant resigned last week, which was a bit strange because they're on course for a top half finish at the moment. Obviously, like I said, they're promoted last season, and ever since they've been at the club, they've had a really good record. And I think in their statement last week, they said how the club didn't match their ambitions, and it wasn't sort of right going forward. And then obviously this week, it's come out that the club's resigning from the league. And basically what's happened is that the chairman and the vice chairman told the club at the end of last season that this would be their last season. And in that time, sort of no one's come forward to fill those roles. And I think Richard Fay's argument was sort of that it hasn't particularly been advertised that much that they need these roles being filled. And then to sort of resign from the league because of that, when, you know, it could be the case that someone comes forward next week or tomorrow or, you know, over the summer months. And to give up your place at step four when you've worked so hard to get there. Of course, they absolutely walked the Western League last year when they had that unbelievable 26-game winning run. I think that, yeah, it was just sort of, he was really disappointed with it, to be honest. And I think, yeah, it did seem disappointing that they've sacrificed it, to be honest, and all the hard work that they've done to get to that stage. Because also he was saying that, you know, they've planned the budget for next season at step four. They passed the ground grading where they were, you know, they were still doing improvements to their ground last week to make sure it was up to scratch, and they passed that. And then, you know, suddenly you're not going to be in that division next year, and possibly even lower than the Western League. I think maybe he was saying that it could be two leagues lower.
Yeah, and it is one of those things. You worry with the automatic promotion from Step 5. Like you say, Street have competed very well in Step 4, coming up from Step 5. Going to have a great finish. You've got Blackfield and Langley also in the at the top of the table there coming up. So it seems on the football front, these clubs can compete. It's just the other bits that go with it. You know, maybe the number of volunteers, you know, the people that prepare to organise things on a weekly basis. Yeah, a football club doesn't run itself. And it looks like that's probably the, you know, is there a way that the FA could help out in that sort of, not necessarily financial infrastructure, but just the helping with the organisation side of the front things?
Yeah, I always remember Mark Harris, who's the chairman of the Northern Premier League, saying how he wanted to try and implement, or he wanted the FA as well to try and implement sort of a volunteers program, almost a structure to be able to get people into clubs and sort of have a way for people to get involved. Because it, as you know, Tim, it's all very well when people say, oh, I'd love to get involved, and it's like, oh, what can you do, what's available to do, how much time can you give, when can you turn up, what can you do on a match day, how many games are you going to be at, all these things that you have to consider. It just sort of needs to be simplified in a little way if possible, or have more structure to it to try and help these clubs. I do understand Street's point of view of, you know, in terms of people coming forward. But I think, you know, what Richard Fay was also arguing was that they'll still need a chairman and a vice chairman in the Western League or whatever division they'll be going into, to keep the club going forward. So that's it's a difficult one, really. I think it is a shame that they've had to give up their place. But again, I think the club are, in a way, being sensible for the future and are securing themselves.
Yeah, well, that's the important thing, isn't it? That these clubs don't just go to the wall and disappear. And yeah, talking of maybe strange decisions, difficult decisions, Aveley have parted with their manager, James Webster, mutual consent being cited, and James, saying that his work commitments have come, creating the issue for him. But Aveley are in the playoffs. How do you recruit a manager when you're in the playoffs?
Yeah, that's another sort of odd one to see this week. Obviously, like I said, the timing, the sort of strange aspect about it, they've already secured their place in the playoffs. It says in the statement that he couldn't commit fully to the job and to the role at the club, which does sort of seem strange from the outside looking in. Maybe there is more to it, and it's the case. But obviously, in the world we live in nowadays, speculation's always rife, isn't it? But I'm not sure they'll get a new manager in probably for the last sort of five or so games, and then the playoffs. I think they're probably best appointing from within. Really, it doesn't need sort of wholesale changes. They've already got a playoff place. They're clearly doing something right, and have been doing something right over the season. And I think then maybe in the summer they'll maybe look to get someone else in. But a strange one to see.
And you mentioned the summer, and we've now got the clubs resigning, moving pyramids. What a summer it's going to be! Shifting all those clubs, reorganising it. Yeah, there won't be a dry eye in the house, because I'm sure there'll be plenty of people that'll be upset by it.
Yeah, another busy summer. I think obviously last year we had the big sort of restructuring, and now it looks like there's going to be more changes to clubs resigning and teams going out of business, sadly, like North Ferriby and Thamesmead. A busy summer for the FA, I think, at their headquarters. But interesting to see how it all pans out.
Well, before that, we've got the weekend ahead. I'm sure there'll be a few champions, maybe some more relegations this weekend. But what else can we look forward to in the paper this weekend?
Well, we're having a look at the run-ins this week across all the leagues, just to see what's going to be decided. Like I say, there's a strong possibility of a few teams being promoted, winning titles this weekend. So that will be interesting to see how it pans out. As usual, all the coverage from steps 1 to 6. Another issue packed full for the weekend and bring on Saturday.
Bring on Sunday morning for you guys, I guess. It's a time to get back to bed. David, always good to talk to you. Thank you for joining us. And don't forget to buy the non-league paper on Sunday.
Brilliant. Cheers, Tim.
That's it for this week. Thank you, Dave Anderson, for your valued time and input.
Pleasure.
And a big thank you to all of our guests, and a big thank you to everybody that listens. You can find us throughout the season. Share the show, join in the debate throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Dave Anderson's at DaveAnderson78, and myself at Tim Fuel. And you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Deezer, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites.
Woohoo!
Thank you. Well and done. Goodbye.
A Jibber Jabber production. JIBBA JABBA.